There we go. So the word that was given a few moments ago at the conclusion of our song service, as we were kind of just praying and seeking the Lord, waiting on the Lord, the Lord spoke to our hearts through a messenger. Okay, it was a gift of the Holy Spirit. And that word was about the broken and the hurting. And now God loves them, and those who are weary. Kind of see any resemblance there to the title of this morning's message? I share that because I want you to understand that she had no idea what I was preaching this morning, because I didn't tell her. So, if you have your Bibles, what I plan to do this morning is take you to, I believe it's four different accounts in the Scripture. A couple of them are stories and parables that Jesus tells. Other than them are real life accounts that happen. And I want to show us, Jesus' heart for the lost and the hurting, okay? And I believe that the church is the hope of the world.
Right.
And I believe that the church can and should be a hospital for the hurting.
Yes.
Haven't you heard before? This ought to be a place, this ought to be a sanctuary. We call it a sanctuary, but it ought to be a sanctuary, a place that you go to say, oh, instead of a place that you come, and we're going to look at a couple of these accounts where there's judgment. Who wants that?
Right.
Who wants to come to a place like that? I don't. And I suspect that you don't either. And so this is a check. This is just a check, and this is to help us to this morning to make sure that we're being the way that we ought to be. And so we're going to turn first to Matthew chapter 9, verse 9-13. As Jesus was walking along, hang on, before I continue, there's a lot of scriptures on the screen, okay? If you can't catch them all, you can take notes, or you can go back and check it out this afternoon, and check that out on Facebook or YouTube, either one. Or you can go to our church website, warsawag.com, and I'm telling you that because there is a bunch of slides on the screen. Hi, whoever's making that noise. We love you. We're glad you're here. My phone rings sometimes too at church, and it's okay. It's okay. Okay, as I was started out, Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in his tax collector's booth. Okay, so let's talk for just a second. Tax collect. Anybody like paying their taxes?
Sure.
Yeah, I see all those hands. Let me share my perspective just briefly. I'm willing to do my part. I want to do my part. But at the same time, nobody really likes to pay taxes. Okay, now let me take you back to Jesus' day here. And Matthew was a tax collector. We know that many of us know that he became one of the disciples. But before that, he was a tax collector. Now, in those days, tax collectors were commissioned, and in this case, they were commissioned by a foreign government, the Roman government, the Roman Empire. They were commissioned by them to collect taxes from their own people. So help, I'm trying to help you understand. It was that many of the Jewish people of Matthew's day, of Jesus' day, they considered him to be a traitor. I know you like traitors. No, we don't like traitors. And that's how they likely viewed Matthew, that he was a traitor and he was taking all their money.
Right.
Or too much of their money. They were also had the latitude. If they wanted, they could spike that, and they could demand that you give more than the Roman government was demanding. Mm-hmm. To pad their pockets. Remember Zacchaeus?
Yep.
That was kind of what was going on there. So Matthew was a tax collector. Jesus said this, "Follow me and be my disciple." Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Wait, Jesus wanted a tax collector to follow him? A traitor? A thief? It probably in many of their minds. Interesting, isn't it? Verse 10, later Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. So Matthew was going to throw this big party because he was going to be following Jesus from this point on. And he invited a bunch of the folks that he knew, other tax collectors and others who weren't living for the Lord. Right? You get the picture? He invited them over for this dinner, as well as Jesus. In verse 11, but when the Pharisees saw this, Pharisees again, they're those religious leaders of the day, and they said to themselves, or they said to one another, I'm sorry, they asked Jesus' disciples, hey, why does your teacher eat with such, well, here it uses the word scum, why does he eat with such lowlifes? Why does he eat with these sinners? They didn't get it yet, did they? They didn't get it yet. Verse 12, when Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. It's the sick who need a doctor. It's the sick who need somebody to help. Right? That was Jesus' response to these Pharisees, these religious leaders who said, why are you hanging out with this kind of people? Because they need a doctor. Because they're sick. They have a problem in their life. And so this morning, I really just view this, I view it, I'm trying to speak to two different people. I think that's really all that there is this morning, is people who have understood that Jesus is the doctor and those who are still sick. Those who are hurting, those who are beat down by this life and in this life, and because of the stuff of the world, you're beat down. And many, they're not in the church, they're not here this morning. Maybe you're listening online. You're beat down because of the sin of life, because of the weight of all the stuff that goes on in life. But I want to tell you that Jesus is the doctor, and he can treat your sickness.
Amen.
He can treat your disease.
Amen.
The disease of sin or any other disease.
Right.
He is supreme over all things.
Yes.
Verse 13, we're going to continue on in this particular passage because he goes on to say some really interesting things. It says, then Jesus added, okay, as he just said, hey, healthy people don't need a doctor. It's the sick who need a doctor. And then he said, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. Wow. Now that was kind of a whole change of mindset right there. Because they were raised, they were trained, they had been for generations to make those sacrifices. And today we make sacrifices, even and that could be tithes, offerings, it could be giving to missions. Sacrifices could be our praise. Sacrifices could be responding to the Word of God and coming up and just continuing to lay our life down. But Jesus said, hey, I want you to show mercy before the sacrifices. In other words, you showing mercy, love, and kindness is more important than some of those other things that we can offer unto God. And he's saying, hey, that's important, but it's really wonderful when you can extend mercy, right?
That's right.
Hey, let's be a church that shows mercy, that extends mercy to others. And then, like in this case, and there's other cases I'm going to show you. In this case, it was to somebody who didn't look like us. Oh, come on, Pastor. Now cut it out. I want to say, it always gets quiet in times like these, but you all were already quiet. But Matthew didn't look like everybody. Matthew didn't look like Jesus. Who did? Who does? We're working on that, aren't we? But Matthew didn't look like us. What if we can show mercy and extend mercy to other people outside of this church? Others who don't look like us, who don't even dress like us, or don't talk like us. Sometimes that talk hurts your ears.
Yeah.
I understand. I struggled. I wanted to get in full-time ministry for years. But one of the things that held me back was because I loved working with sinners. I loved rubbing shoulders with them and just being like to them. There were many days I didn't get to talk about the Lord at all. And there were many days I left feeling kind of beat up, if you will. But I loved hanging around them and being that example, being that light, being a real life Christian. That was one of the reasons I didn't want to get in full-time ministry. I don't regret it, but I do kind of miss it. I do kind of miss hanging out with people who aren't serving Jesus. Can you make sense of that?
Yeah.
I just loved it. And I still do. When God's called you and I to make a difference in the world, to impact others for Him.
That's right.
For Him. You know, and it just could be that God will use you to cause somebody to desire to be more and more like the Lord. And to seek Him out. What a blessing and what a privilege. Look at what else Jesus said right after that. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. If you're listening today and you don't have it all together, it's okay. You don't know. You're living in shame. There's condemnation at your door all the time. I tell you, the Scripture says that there is no condemnation for those who are found in Christ. You don't have to stay that way. If that's you, know that Jesus here says that I've called you the sinner. You who don't have it all together. We come into church and we look around and we think everybody's got it all together. And it might be that some of us do have things a little bit more together. Because we've been serving the Lord for a long time. We've gone through this and we've gone through that. And we've learned the hard way. Or we've figured it out along the way in some cases. But let me also say that I don't know that any one of us has it all together.
True.
Some might look at me and say, oh man, I want to be like that guy. He's got it all together. Uh-huh. I want you to be like me in some ways. For sure. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. So if you don't think you've got it all together, and that shame is right there at your door every single day, and you don't even feel like you can go to a church because I don't know that they would accept me, we will.
Amen.
We will. We want to love you.
That's right.
We're trying to hear God's heart in these passages of Scripture today, in these examples. Again, for Jesus said, for I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. It's powerful. It's powerful stuff. We're going to now look at Luke chapter 18. Starting in verse 9. Luke 18 verse 9. Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. This is for those who believe they've got it all together. Oh, I'm doing awesome. I got this on my own. Okay? On our own. Now, we can stand there and I believe it's okay to stand there and say, you know what, with the Lord, we've got this. But look at this account that Jesus told. In verse 10, he begins this. This is a parable. This is a story. Two men went to the temple to pray. All right, you with me so far?
Yeah.
Two people go to the temple to pray. They're going to go and seek the Lord. One was a Pharisee. Okay, I already mentioned Pharisees. That's the religious leader of the day. One of the types of religious leaders of the day. And the other was a despised tax collector. There it is again. Despised. Here Luke points out that they were despised. As I already tried to bring up. So we have two people. One's a Pharisee. The other's a tax collector. They go to the temple to pray. The Pharisee, in verse 11, the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. This is awesome. Just kidding. I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people.
Yeah.
I thank you that I'm not like that cheater or sinner or adulterer over there. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. That's goofy. That's goofy. Let me caution you, don't ever pray and compare yourself to somebody else. It doesn't pay either which way.
That's right.
Because if you're better than they are, then all you're doing is you're building yourself up in that pride bank account that stinks to God. And if you're not as good as the other person, then you're just feeling beat down. What's the point of either one of those outcomes? What we do when we pray is not look and compare ourselves to somebody else, but we ought to be focusing on Him.
Amen.
We ought to be focusing on Jesus and recognizing who God is. And you know what? If there's something wrong in our life, the next verse, He goes on to talk about how incredible He is, that Pharisee. I fast twice a week. Mm-hmm. And I give you a tenth of my income. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we need to remind God what we do for Him.
True.
What are we seeking? What are we doing that for? Is it so that God will honor us? But verse 13 says, but the tax collector stood at a distance, and he didn't even dare to look up to heaven. He didn't dare to lift his eyes up to heaven. He was beat down and knew that he wasn't right. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. Maybe that's where you are today. I want you to know that Jesus is there. He's right there, waiting with open arms.
Amen.
Check out the next verse. I tell you, Jesus said, this sinner, this disreputable tax collector, he went home. I'm sorry, not the Pharisee. The tax collector returned home justified before God, right before God, because the humility of his heart. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. We don't have to go tooting our own horn to God saying, oh God, did you see how I fasted twice that week and how I gave this much to that? He doesn't need us to do that. Matter of fact, he said, ooh, you're not quite there yet. Can't exalt you yet. Matter of fact, I need to kind of knock you down a notch. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
God wants to exalt those who are humble.
Yes.
But He cannot stand pride. It smells. It's a stench in His nostrils. So again, we're not comparing ourselves to one another. We want to include those who don't think they could ever be worthy of God's love. And the problem there lies in that many people will never darken the door of a church because, well, I don't have any of it figured out yet. And that just keeps them in the same cycle that they've always been in. Because guess what? You can't fix yourself.
No. Amen.
Jesus is the one that has the power to help you to overcome in your life.
Amen.
And until you learn and understand that, you'll be battling to no avail.
Sure.
There's no healing outside of the cross.
Amen.
That's physical healing or emotional healing or victory over any life-controlling issues. You might be struggling with addiction. Jesus wants to free you.
Amen.
He did not make you so that you succumb to that all the time. Instead, He made you to worship Him. Another account, Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 38. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. Verse 37, when a certain immoral woman from that city heard he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Verse 38. Then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped his feet off with her hair. That's nuts, in a good way. Now, you need to understand, they did not sit at chairs around the table like we do. They would sit, and their feet would kind of be back behind them. They would sit with their legs to the side, and their feet would be behind them. And so this woman came to the, not at to the table, but right behind where Jesus was, and she was weeping. Why? She was weeping because she knew that this man was someone special. And she was convicted in her heart of the sin, the wrong that she had done and committed. Because you see, well, he goes on to share here in a moment. See, her tears fell on his feet and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. Wow. Sounds like a pretty special moment to me. Now, this was not anything sexual in any way. This was a woman who had realized that there was someone special, that she was in the presence of someone special, and that he loved her. And that she was being made new. Verse 39, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, now check this out, he said to himself, anybody ever say something to yourself without saying it out loud? Yeah. We think things, okay? And this Pharisee, he's like, he sees what's going on. He sees this woman behind Jesus, and she's crying. Maybe it's a little hard to talk over her because she's crying loud. Maybe it's somewhat loud. And he's like, okay, what is she doing? And she's crying, and the Pharisee sees what's going on, and then he sees her wiping Jesus' feet. They didn't have nice shoes like we have. They had sandals, and so their feet were dirty as they walked everywhere. But this Pharisee said to himself, if this man were a prophet, if this guy was who he says he is, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. That she was. That she was. Let's continue. Verse 40. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Oh. Jesus answered his thoughts. He didn't even have to say it out loud. Got to be careful around Jesus. He knows the motive of our heart.
Yes.
Not just what we thought. He knows the motive from which it came.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus answered his thoughts. Can you imagine Simon the Pharisee saying, but Jesus, I didn't ask a question. Jesus, I didn't say anything. Jesus said, hey, Simon, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Verse 41, then Jesus told him this story. Hey, there was a man, he loaned money to two people. One of those individuals, he gave 500 pieces of silver, and to the other one, he gave 50 pieces of silver. All right, you with me so far? But neither of them could repay him, so he kindly forgave both, canceling their debts. Again, this is a question. This is a little scenario that Jesus brings up to this Pharisee, Simon. Who do you suppose loved him more after that? The one who was forgiven of the debt, canceled, the one who had 500 pieces of silver, or the one who had 50 pieces of silver, and now neither one of them owed the man anything else? Which one, Jesus asked, which one do you think loved that man more? Which one do you think was more appreciative of that? That canceling of the debt. Simon answered correctly. Verse 43. I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. On to verse 44. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon. Okay, are you with me still? Jesus then turns to the woman who had been washing his feet with her tears and hair. How fun does that sound? He said, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, now he's talking to Simon. He said, look at this woman that's kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my head, but she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Whoops, Simon's starting to feel a little guilty, isn't he? He didn't offer Jesus any water to wash his feet. And this woman took up the slack.
Yeah.
You didn't, in verse 45, you didn't greet me with a kiss. But from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. Verse 46, you neglected the courtesy of oil, olive oil, to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare and expensive perfume. Simon's kind of taking a step back with every line. You see, there is, again, Simon didn't need to compare himself to her, and she didn't need to compare herself to Simon. Because guess what? Each of us walks our own walk.
Yes.
Everyone has their own cross to bear. Yes. Everyone is... It has to figure that out and do it with, make the decision on their own. Now we can have help, and many of us have had help, praise God, for good and godly people in our lives. And that is a blessing.
Amen.
But it still has to be our decision. You can't make my decision and I can't make your decisions. So if you're struggling, if you're weary, if you're burdened, if you've got baggage, if you've got addictions, it doesn't matter. I'm encouraging you to come to the cross. I'm encouraging you to come to Christ. Come to our church. We want to love on you. We want to point you to Christ. We want to help you. We want to pray for you. We want to love you. We want to hug you. We want to be there for you.
Amen.
We're not your answer. But we know the answer. And His name is Jesus. And we want to do everything in our power, everything that we can, to point you and encourage you to live for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said in verse 47 there, I tell you, her sins, and they are many. He acknowledges that, yeah, she was a sinner. I tell you, her sins, and though they are many, have been forgiven. Woo! Hallelujah. So she has shown me much love in return. Isn't that awesome? She's been forgiven of a lot. Back to the story that Jesus told. Hey, this guy had 500, was given 500 silver coins. This guy was given 50. They were both canceled out. Who was more appreciative? Well, clearly the guy who had 500. And this woman had been forgiven of a lot. So really, for those of you who are listening with baggage, it doesn't matter what you've done.
Right.
What matters is what you do from here.
Amen.
What matters is that you turn to Christ. What matters is that you kneel at His feet. And that you come with humility and the fear of the Lord and you repent of your sins. I don't need to know what they are. I don't care. Because I don't think that Jesus cares. Because once you repent, then you're turning away from that stuff anyway. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love, Simon. Simon was probably in the corner by then. But Jesus is so gracious and loving. He turned to the woman and he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Wow. Wow. Can you remember that day when your sins were forgiven?
Yep.
How light you felt, how free you felt?
Amen.
Let's never forget that stuff. Let's never forget that. That's why I can stand and sing and raise my hands, oh God, and raise my voice real loud. Because He forgave me.
Amen.
Do you forgive anybody else?
Yes. Amen.
Okay. If you need forgiveness, I promise you it's available. I promise you. It's not just for goody two-shoes. That doesn't even make sense. Because there was a day when I wasn't in church. I wasn't following Jesus. I wasn't serving Him. And I didn't really care about Him.
Right.
And there's probably others with a similar story.
True.
Turn. Give Him your heart. That's all He's after. That's all He's after. He's not after your money.
No.
He's after your heart. So can we be a church like this next verse points out? We're going to Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18. Let's be a church like this. Well, not like the first part, but like the second part. Check this out. Some people make cutting remarks. Not us. Not us. But the words of the wise, because we're wise and we're going to be wiser still. The words of the wise bring healing. Because guess what? There's going to be people walking in that door, or there's going to be people rubbing shoulders, you're going to rub shoulders with, and you're going to see a need. The Lord's going to help you to see that need beyond just simply your natural eyes. You're going to see a need. And or a hurt, a wound. Because maybe some of you listening today are wounded. Maybe you've been wounded by the church. I'm so sorry. But you're carrying baggage around that you were never intended to carry. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe someone hurt you. Unfortunately, that stuff happens. I hate it. I hate it. But you can be healed. You can be healed. You can choose to love the Lord. And see, this scripture here helps us to understand that those who are wise are going to speak words that will bring healing instead of more hurt.
Yes.
That's who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be. In this church or outside of this church, we're supposed to be the ones who are so wise that we speak words of healing over people. And that we bring encouragement. We bring love and we bring hope to them and healing to them. I have a couple other scriptures to share. I want to point out this guy named Barnabas. Barnabas is in the New Testament, and Barnabas, shortly after Paul gave his heart to Christ, because he wasn't serving Christ at one point, as a matter of fact, Jesus showed up to him and said, "Hey, why are you persecuting me?" And then the Lord used someone else to bring healing because Paul was blinded. And then sometime later, you see, because Paul had been damaging the church. And going to arrest individuals that were connected to the church and believers, Christians. He went to arrest those individuals and shut them up. He didn't want the gospel of Jesus to be preached. But instead, that day that Jesus showed up and said, "Hey, why are you persecuting me?" Paul gave his heart to Christ. Well, see, it was difficult for other people to understand that and to understand the difference and the change that Christ had made in his life. They were afraid, okay, wait, this guy is maybe just faking it so that he can get close to us and arrest us all. But old Barnabas, called the son of encouragement, old Barnabas came and said, "Paul, I got you, buddy. Come with me. I'll help you. I'll bear witness with what you're saying, because I can see the Lord's changed your heart." And so that's what Barnabas did. He went and helped Paul to be understood. You know what? Don't you think that we all need somebody, at least from time to time, to be in our corner?
Yes.
But now, whether you have anybody in the natural in your corner or not, you've got Jesus.
Amen.
Paul needed somebody else, and Barnabas came and put his arm around him and said, "Come on, let's go. I'll introduce you. I'll make sure that they don't judge you in that kind of way." You know what? It could be that somebody comes into our church. I already mentioned that they might not look like us. They might come in with a Budweiser hat on. Let them come in. It's okay.
Amen.
It's okay. Amen. They might have tattoos all over them. It's okay. Amen. Because Jesus wants to mark them with His seal. And He wants to touch their hearts and revolutionize their lives.
Yes.
So please don't you dare judge them. Please don't you dare cause them to want to leave. Instead, you be Barnabas to them. Say, man, I'm super glad that you're here. This is awesome. You want to come and sit with me?
Yeah. Amen.
It's hard for me to do that because I leave. That's not very nice. When I ask them to come and sit by me and then I come up to the front, they're still left alone. So it's awesome when you can say, hey, come and sit with me. Or, hey, I'd like to show you around or whatever the case might be. And just help them to, in tangible ways to see that we care that they're here. That we care about them. We can't fix all the problems in people's lives.
No.
It's not our place. But we can sure point them to the one who can. And we can sure help them when we can. And we can sure pray for them when we know there's something that they're in need of. Right?
Yes.
That's one of the things I love about this church. This church is good about praying for other people's needs. Barnabas. Let's be Barnabas to people. Let's be Barnabas. You're hurting. You're broken. You're struggling with life-controlling issues, addictions, or whatever, hurts, wounds. And maybe the wound is still wide open and it's bleeding and ooze is coming out of it. It's festering. The Lord loves you. And He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly where you are today. Look at what Psalm 34, verse 18 says. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He wants to be close to you today. He knows that brokenness. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows what you're going through. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. We want to love you here at Warsaw Assembly of God. We're not perfect. I have never seen the perfect church. But we want to love you here at Warsaw Assembly of God. We do love you. If you have questions, that's okay. Because questions are how we learn.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, when you ask me a question, I'm never going to say, just have faith. I'm going to try to help you find the answer and try to help you understand the answer. Because that answer of just have faith, while I believe that is partially true in many cases, there is an aspect and an element of faith in this walk with Jesus. But that's a cop-out for an answer.
Yes. Right.
And really, we learn by asking questions. Look at your 2 and 3 and 4 or 5-year-old. I still have a lot of questions. So, you don't have it all together, it's okay. We want you to be part of our church. Mm-hmm. We want to introduce you to Jesus Christ. He's the best thing that will ever happen to you, I promise you. Check this other scripture out. Matter of fact, let's go to the next one and then we'll come back to that. Isaiah 61. Jesus actually quoted this in the synagogue, in the temple. He opened the scroll up to this passage on purpose because He was the fulfillment of it. He said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." Are you poor? Are you hurting? Jesus is for you. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted. Are you brokenhearted? Jesus is for you. He wants to give you comfort. He wants to bring you that comfort. And He wants to proclaim to those who are captives. Maybe you're bound by chains. Maybe you can't get free. A lot of people know what that's like.
Yes.
Jesus breaks chains. He sets captives free. And that's what He wants to do for you today. One last scripture. I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to the Lord this morning. Those who are listening, in your home or those who are in this church building. We're going to get an opportunity to respond to the Word of God. And you might be right with God. This morning I'm challenging you, I'm challenging all of us to seek the Lord because we want to be that kind of a church. Maybe you're going to come up and say, Lord, help me to be Barnabas. Help me to be a Barnabas to somebody. Lord, show me. Help me to see the needs of people. Or maybe you're saying, I'm the hurting one. I'm the one that's been captive by sin. And today I need Jesus to forgive me. Today I need to begin a relationship with Him. And check this out. Luke chapter 15, verse 7 says, in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. I read this verse because I want you to understand if you're the one who you consider yourself a sinner, or others would consider you a sinner, and you're ready to turn away from that stuff. You're sick and tired of hurting and being captive and being bound, and that's you. Listen to the verse. Jesus, and He says here that heaven rejoices over you. When you come to Christ, when you return to God, He rejoices over that one person, over you. How cool is that? How cool is that? I wanted to point out today that Jesus cares for those who are broken, those who are lost, those who are hurting, those who are wounded, those who are broken, those who are crushed. And the Spirit of the Lord, before I ever stood up to preach, confirm that to my heart again. So again, this church, this morning I want to challenge you to spend some time with the Lord in the altars, because we've got to respond to the Lord. We want to be who He wants us to be. And He wants us to be, clearly, He wants us to be a people who is loving on other people. So can we commit our ways to Him once more and say, Lord, help me to be a Barnabas. Help me to bring words of healing to people's lives. So I'm going to challenge you. Let's respond. Let's respond. Let's seek the face of God so that we are who He wants us to be. And this morning, if you need that forgiveness, you need Him to break the chains. Jesus is more than enough. He is able, not only able, but He's willing to forgive you of your sins. I promise. Matter of fact, the Scripture says that in that moment, when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in that moment, you become a new person on the inside. That old stuff is gone. You're made new, made alive in Christ. How powerful that is. So let's seek the Lord. I'm challenging you to come to the altars, make an altar where you are, either way. Let's pursue the Lord. Let's ask Him so that we are the people, even that we're showing love, even when people don't look like us, that we're showing love and we're showing, remember Jesus said, show mercy. Show mercy instead of sacrifice. And this is not a message because I needed to bring correction. This is just a message as a reminder. This is who we're supposed to be. This needs to be our DNA. Yes. That whoever walks in the door, they get loved. 100%. No judgment at all. Now, I'm not saying there's not boundaries in our church. When somebody comes in, they're getting loved. End of story, right?
Amen.
Well, that shouldn't be the end of the story, but the end of that discussion. We're going to love them. So let's pray. Let's seek the Father. Let's respond to the Word of God today.